morning. I don't know how long this is going to last up here, just because of everything that's been going on. I got bronchitis and some other stuff, but we're going to do our best. Either way, God will be glorified, and we will worship Him as He has commanded us to do. You know, I love movies. I love classic movies, and characters that I really like is one that's the tough guy, and one that he doesn't take any lip from anybody, and he's going to tell you what's on his mind. And really, somebody who's always been that character throughout history is Clint Eastwood. And when I was in high school, I had a picture of Clint Eastwood as a poster on my wall, and it was from The Outlaw Josie Wells. That's the greatest Western of all time. And one of the quotes that really sticks in people's minds when he walks into this town, and you know, he's a wanted man, and there's all these Union soldiers standing there in front of this building, and they recognize who he is, and he basically tells them there's four of them, there's one of him, and he says, "Are you going to pull them pistols? Or are you going to stand there and whistle Dixie?" And he ends up pulling his pistol out, and they have a gunfight. Or you can think later on in one of his movies in the 80s when you get into the Dirty Harry scenes. And he asks the guy, he says, "Do you feel lucky?" And those quotes stick with people. And there's these tough guy quotes, people remember them for decades and decades. And you can probably think of your favorite movie, and you can think of some line from it that has stuck with you. Well, when I think into the Old Testament, when I think of the tough guy, the guy who he doesn't take lip from people, and he's telling the people what they need to hear, I think of Joshua. And Joshua has several memorable quotes throughout the Old Testament. You can think of Numbers, the 14th chapter, when they come back from spying out the land. We're going to look at that in a minute. We're going to look at Joshua, the 24th chapter, when he's given his farewell address to the people. And he tells them, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Still today, thousands of years later, we sing a song, "Dare to Stand Like Joshua." So this morning, I want to look at the character of Joshua, and specifically with the boldness that he had to stand for the Lord, even when it may have not been the most popular thing to do. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. We're going to be doing a lot of jumping back and forth and reading text. So go ahead and turn to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1. The setting for Joshua 1, Moses has passed. And as God told Moses, he would not be able to enter the promised land. And Joshua had served under Moses as an assistant. He'd watched him lead the people. He'd watched him do good things. He'd seen his failures as well. And it's now Joshua's time to step into the spotlight and lead the people. And this was what God speaks directly to Joshua and says, Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage." Pay attention to that phrase right there. "Be strong and of good courage," in verse 6. "For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." There it is again. "Be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe it to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Some powerful words here. This is really Joshua's time to become the leader of Israel. And the Lord says three different times, be strong and of good courage. God knows what Joshua is going to go through. He has difficult people on his hand, does he not? In fact, he just has people. And people are difficult in general at times. Because we like to do things our way at times, do we not? We get caught up in what we want or what we desire. And we know the Israelites was like a roller coaster with God. It was up and down and twist and turns. They'd come back and they'd be there. And the next minute, they were going away again. And he knew Joshua was going to have to deal with this. He was going to have to deal with the people that were tired of being in the wilderness. They were impatient. They were ready to be in this promised land. He was dealing with the people that said, it was better off that we die in Egypt when our bellies were full. He knew there was going to be difficulties. But he said, I will be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Be courageous, Joshua. He says, don't go to the left, don't go to the right, but stay straight. Because that is what I'm commanding you. And have the law with you day in and day night. If you have this, there will be no man who can conquer you. There will be no man who can take the promise that I've given you. But be strong and be courageous. And here it goes. Go to Joshua 24 now. Let's look at how Joshua is being strong and courageous. God has commanded him to do it. Let's see if he fulfills what God has told him to do. Joshua, the 24th chapter. The Lord, through the first 13 verses, reminds the people what he's done for them. He tells them how he told Abraham many years ago that he was going to give them a land. And that he had Abram walk through the land of Canaan. He'd given them that land. And then his sons, Isaac, and then his grandson Jacob, and all his sons, the great famine occurred, right? And they had to go to Egypt. And the people of the Hebrews went to Egypt. They lived there for years and years, hundreds of years. It's said to be about 400 years of bondage and slavery they went through. And God reminds these people, he has them gather together, that I took you out of that land. That I heard your cries. I heard that bondage that you were in, that oppression. And I've brought you into a land which you did not work for. I've given you cities that you did not build. I've given you vineyards that you did not plant. You've reaped what I've given you. So, why does all that need to be said? I think it's safe to assume what Joshua's going to say here in a minute, that the people of Israel at this time were not serving the Lord as they should be. Because he tells the people, you're going to have to make a choice today who you're going to follow. Does that imply that they are not serving God completely? I think we're all intelligent people in this room, and we can gather that information to see that they were not where they needed to be with God. And Joshua recognizes that. Let's see what he says here. Numbers 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So all the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord is our God, is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people from whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Joshua served under Moses. No doubt he saw some incredible things. No doubt Moses and him had some conversations about leadership. Would you agree? That he said, Joshua, there's going to be a day and time where you are going to have to take this position. You're going to have to lead these people. A journey that we have been on for over 40 years, and the time will be yours to be the leader of God's people. What an honor, right? This huge nation, and Joshua, God is the head of it, but Joshua is at his hand doing these things. But here's our first point for today. Leaders have to have boldness. Amen? Because if they do not, people will stray. And even at times when leaders do have boldness, people still go away. But it's time that when a leader sees that, they go to them and they try and bring them back. Because Joshua recognized his people and he knew his people. He knew that they weren't doing what they were supposed to. He knew that they were straying, that they were worshiping the gods that their fathers had. And they were indecisive about who they were going to serve. And he said, we're done dilly-dallying around. We've got to make a decision today. He says, I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to have to decide for yourself. But me, either way, if you choose to serve God or you choose to serve these other gods, me and my family, we are going to do what's right. And that's a great quality within a leader. Even when things are unpopular and the crowd goes against what God wants, the leader stays true. He's an example to his people. He says, no matter what you do, no matter what you decide today, I'm still going to do this. I'm going to stick to God's word. And leaders need to do that. Because there's going to be things that arise within the church that are against God's word at times. We've seen that time and time again. And even in this city in the last few years, we've seen what can happen when leaders don't have boldness. When they won't go and address a problem. We see what can happen to churches when something isn't taken care of. Joshua recognized there was a problem, and he went to the source right there. He gathered the people together. He gathered the heads of the families, the officers, and he said, you have got to decide today for the people that are under you, and you can't put it off any longer. That's what a leader does. He's got to have boldness. He's got to address problems, and he can't allow sin to reign within his people. Because when it does, we've seen what happens to the Israelites. We've seen what weak leadership within kings do. God gave them into captivity to try and bring them back. He put them through things, horrible things. Why? So that they would realize that he is in charge. Joshua 1, you go back to it. It says, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, but stick to what I'm telling you, and you will be successful. You know, people take that verse and they look at it and say, well, all these things will happen to me. Good health, good wealth, all these things, good jobs are going to come. But that's not what that's talking about at all. It's talking about spiritual prosperity here. That I'm going to be with you. And when God is with us, good things do happen. Lives are made better. We're more at peace. We're more joyful people. Why? Because we're in a right relationship with God. But you know what? Boldness just doesn't apply to leaders. Go back to Numbers, the 14th chapter now. In Numbers 14, we know the context here, that the spies have gone into Canaan. And for 40 days, they were there. And the 12 come back, and the 10 of them say, we can't take it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're going to stomp all over us. We have no chance. But Joshua remembered what God had told them. And Caleb as well. Justin did a lesson on Caleb a while back that was, it was right on point with it. But the people, they've been, can you imagine the mind of the people and the attitude? They've been wandering in this wilderness for years and years, and finally they get to, they're about to go into the promised land, and they're waiting and they're eager for these spies to come back. And they get back and their heads are hung low. And they say, the fruit of the land is good. There's many crops there. There's many rivers there. There's much opportunity. But we can't take it. Imagine what a letdown that would be. It was so bad that the people cried against Moses. They cried against God. And they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for saying, we could take it. But Joshua's courage here. Look what he says. Numbers, the 14th chapter. And in verse 5, look what even the leaders here do, Moses and Aaron. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly and of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And look what the people say. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle meeting before all the children of Israel. Joshua wasn't the man in charge at the time. He was a servant. He was an assistant of Moses. And look what he says. He still steps up with boldness. He still steps up with courage. Why? Because the law of the Lord was with him. He had focused on what God had said, and he had meditated on it. He was a man of courage. So what's that mean for you and I? Regular people can have boldness and courage too. And we need to have boldness and courage. When I was a kid, Maddie will remember this. My dad, he's pretty clever. But I love basketball. I still love basketball. But I had all these jerseys of players when I was a kid. And if you named the players in the 2000s and the 90s, I had them. And when my dad coached all of our basketball teams, and so the kids on the basketball teams, they had the same interest. And so they had all these jerseys too. And he began to look around and he said, you know what? In our culture today, we idolize celebrities, do we not? We look at them and we put them on a pedestal above others. And kids admire these athletes. They have their rooms decorated with teams. They play their Xbox games and they want to play with their favorite player. They want to, when they're on the basketball court, we say, well, I'll be so-and-so, you be Steph, and I'll be Klay Thompson. And that's the way it was when you were kids. But my dad decided, he said, you know what? He said, kids idolize all these, we're idolizing these people. We're really elevating them on a stage above normal people. He said, what if we idolize characters of the Bible that way? What if we wore their names on our shirts? For the qualities they had, things that actually matter, not points you score in a game or how many championships you have. And so he came up with this idea, and he made these jerseys. And it started off with four characters of the Bible. And it had a quality across the front. I remember there was Abraham. It was faithfulness. And there was Joshua with courage. David with bravery. And on the back of it, it had a Bible verse about what that did. And the company they made was, it said, Aspire to Inspire is what it was called. But the problem was they didn't know how to market it enough. And do you remember Lifeway Christian? That I think it was out on Hurstbourne or on Outer Loop somewhere, is one of the two. They sold these jerseys within the store. And they sold several hundred of them. But they didn't know how to take it to the next level. There was brochures, and I was a model on the brochure. So Maddie was too. But We have this mentality of elevating people who have these qualities that don't matter. The things of the world. And we want to follow them. We want to know what they're doing. We want to get an autograph. But in all reality, 10, 20 years, some people are going to be gone. It doesn't matter how many points they scored, how many championships they won. Because that's not what matters in life. But when we begin to focus on qualities of biblical things, that is what truly helps us. So, but if any of you decide to make a company like that, you got to at least cut me in on it. Again, it's a pretty good idea. I'll give it to him. It was a good idea. It just they didn't know where to take it to out of Louisville. But we've got to realize priorities and importance of characteristics within us. And Joshua does something else here. Go back to Joshua, the 24th chapter. He tells the people something, not what they want to hear. You know, we like to be around people who tell us what we want to hear, right? People who tell us we're all right when we're really not. People who build us up when we're probably not doing the best we can. But in in Joshua 24, he tells the people, and they have a great response. They say, we want to serve this God. Yes, he brought us out of the land. He's done all these things. We owe it to him, and he's also worthy of this. But look what he says to him here. Look in verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. And he will turn you and do harm and consume you after he's done good. But the people said, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, God of Israel. That's tough. They say, yeah, we want to do this. And Joshua says, you're not ready for it. Your heart isn't in the right place. You've got things in your life that are amiss. You've got to get rid of that stuff. You've got to get rid of those gods. You've got to purge that sin out of your life and then focus your heart on God if you're truly going to serve him. That's tough. We don't like to hear when we're wrong, do we? We don't like someone telling us that we're doing something that we're not supposed to be doing, or that we're not doing something to the best of our ability. He says, you're not ready for it yet, guys. You got to change first. You have to repent. That's tough. Because when we're doing something and we get caught up in that lifestyle, we enjoy it. And getting rid of it and putting it away can be difficult. People probably didn't want to hear that. He said, he won't forgive you if you trespass against him. If you turn your backs on him, he's going to hold you accountable for all your things you've done against him. You aren't ready for it. Leaders need the boldness to say that sometimes to people. That you have got to change. That you cannot serve God with the way you're acting. You have to repent. Listen, I hate conflict. I despise conflict. I like to live my life by that song "Even Flow" by Pearl Jam. Just an even flow. I don't want to have to go and do and have conflict with somebody and have beef. We don't enjoy that. I'm about to get myself in trouble saying something about Shelby, so I'm not going to. Y'all can ask her later. No, but are there times in our lives where we argue for things that don't matter? We get in discussions that don't matter? Things that aren't important? And we have conflict in between two people? And it separates you. There's things that we have to learn to pick and choose battles on. Spiritual things are things we can't bypass, though. We can't avoid those conversations when it comes down to someone's soul because it's too important. It's the most important thing. And Joshua realized his people, and he knew his people. That says a lot about Joshua's leadership. He was in touch with his people. He says, you've got to change if you're going to do this. Leaders have to be in touch with their people. They have to know their people. Why? So they can shepherd them. They can realize when they're spiritually healthy and when they're unhealthy. And they can get them back to the state they're in. He realized this wasn't going to be a change that happened immediately. It was going to take time for them to cleanse their minds, to cleanse their hearts, to get focused on God. We were having a discussion at lunch this week. And we're talking about weddings. A girl on our team is going to be getting married sometime. We don't know when. But they're talking about, well, how much? Are you going to have an open bar, or are they going to have to pay for it? And we got to talking about all of our weddings. And everybody's, one lady, her husband works at Jim Beam, and Jim Beam sponsored it all. And then one lady, they had everybody pay for it. Then they had an open bar at the other one. And they said, what about you, Wilson? I said, well, we didn't drink. We didn't have alcohol there. And the girl that sits across from me every day, she started going to a community church. Never been to church really in her whole life. But she said, I love going there. I love being there. The band's great. The preacher, he's so uplifting. He makes you feel so good. She goes, Wilson, you all don't drink? I said, no. She said, do you want to? I said, not really. What? She said, why? I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. We just don't do that. Well, I know plenty of Christians that drink. I said, well, Carissa, that don't mean it's right. What? So you're saying they're not as good as you? I'm not saying that at all. I said, I'm just saying what God says, and then we leave it at that. Well, I don't know what kind of church you go to. My church, we do. It's okay. And that's what it turned into. And her thing is, as long as we're there, hey, we're good. Wear what you want. Show up when you want. Preacher tells you whatever. Hey, we'll come back next week. We'll do it again. I'm afraid that's a snapshot of what our world, our religious world around us is. That do what you want. As long as you're a good person, you're not lying, you're not stealing, you're being nice to others around you, it's okay. Because the details, well, they'll work themselves out in the end. And that's what it is. But did she want to hear that? No. And I wasn't trying to be this bold person standing up in front of everybody. It was just a conversation we were having. But we need to be bold as Christians. Sometimes we're going to have to tell others things that they might not want to hear. But it's what they need to hear. Now you do it out of love. And with our brothers around us, we're going to have to sometimes tell them, hey, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be hanging out with them people. I saw you somewhere this week. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but hey, I was checking up on you. That's tough. That takes courage. It takes boldness to do that. And the Lord's church needs that. Joshua, when you go back to Joshua 1:1, when God's talking to Joshua, he says, my servant Moses is dead. Joshua was assuming that role. He was going to be a servant of the Lord, taking that step. Well, our last point for today is about being a servant. The impact Joshua had. Let's read the remainder of Joshua 24. Let's look what his boldness did for these people here. So let's look at verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made them for a statute and ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun and the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. What a legacy. that these people, under Joshua's rule, followed the Lord intently. They followed his words. They went back to Joshua 1:1. They meditated on it. The law was with them. They didn't go to the left. They didn't go to the right. They stayed true. Now, here's the scary thing, though. You flip over to the next book. You look at Judges 2:10. It said, there arose a generation that knew not God. Well, what's that mean for you and I? You know, we have good leaders here. I think we have strong leaders. Leaders with boldness. But we can't rely on them forever. You notice what it said about Joshua? Guess what he did? At 110 years old, which is way too long to live, he died. What happened to the elders after him? They died too. It's up to us, the younger generations, to make sure that we are learning from the ones above us, looking to what they did, look at their successes, but learn from failures as well. Why? So that we can take the next generation and help keep them faithful as well. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take having a servant's heart and a servant's attitude. Why? Because it's too much to risk losing souls. You've seen churches around here where my family, my mom's side, grew up at Valley Station. They had 200-300 people out there. We did some preaching out there last year. And you know what? Everybody's sitting on this side. It happens to churches if things aren't taken care of. If the younger generations don't prepare for the future, when the time comes where they have to step into the spotlight like Joshua did, they're not ready for it. They're unprepared, and the whole body suffers. I think we're doing a great thing here with our young boys, getting them ready, realizing the importance of it. Why? Because one day, if Christ doesn't return, you boys are going to be the ones making decisions around here. That's a scary thing to think about right now, but it's a beautiful thing as well. We've got to make sure we're preparing for the future with boldness. Looking, and leaders here, people are watching, kids are watching. They're taking notes, they're looking at what the decisions that we make, and those decisions make an impact on a lifetime. Joshua said, you cannot play around anymore. You've got to decide today, and today is the day to make the decision. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to put it on the back burner and serve other gods? And look at the impact of it. The people said, we are ready to come back to Him. We are ready to repent. Well, here's the question for you today. Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to make the change to come back to Him? Look what happened. Families came back to God. They were successful. Why? Because Joshua didn't stray to the right or to the left, but he told them what needed to happen, and they made a decision. Are you going to make a decision today? Or are you going to what we call lollygag around some more? Make the decision today to come to God, to have spiritual success, as He's told us. You know what to do. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Why don't you come on forward now? Let's talk about it as we stand and as we sing.